Turn again tonight to the 14th chapter of Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. Read verse 54 and then 66 through 72. And Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Then going to verse 66. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you're saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you're one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." But he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And a second time the rooster crowed. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he thought about it, and he wept. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's interesting. While Jesus was being tried before Caiaphas, Peter was also being tried as in a furnace. Most of the time we come to this time in Peter's life and we focus on his failure and the reasons for his failure. And while it is true that Peter's failure was great, I'd like for us to look at Peter tonight from a different viewpoint. Surely Peter had his faults, as we all do. He was impulsive. He was outspoken, sometimes speaking before he even thought. You can almost call him a loudmouth. And sometimes he was not very dependable. Yet Peter had much to commend him to us. On the night in which Peter came finally to deny Jesus, he shown a fantastic courage. Think about it. In the garden, when the police and the mob came to arrest Jesus, Peter drew his sword and struck out to attempt to defend Jesus. He could have had no real hope of success in his efforts. One sword in his hand against so many in the soldiers' hands that were there, he was sure to fail. And his action, as we saw earlier, was contrary to all that Jesus taught and how he lived. But Peter still acted. In the scuffle that followed, he wounded the servant of the high priest. It seemed likely in the confusion that no one was really sure who had struck that blow. And after all, they were only interested in arresting Jesus. At any rate, Jesus was taken captive, and Peter was hardly noticed, we would think. Then we notice that the other disciples forsook Jesus and fled for their lives. And it would seem if anyone had reason to be afraid at that time, afraid for his life and to run and hide, it would be Peter. After all, he was the one who'd drawn the sword and struck the servant of the high priest. Oh, he wasn't arrested right then, but perhaps there was someone there who recognized him, or who would recognize him. Any prudent, play-it-safe person would put space between themselves and Jesus and get away from that place. The last place you would expect to find Peter would be in the courtyard of the high priest where Jesus was on trial. It seems almost an insane thing to do, to go right into the enemy camp. But there Peter is. The other disciples have forsaken Jesus and fled. But at this point, Peter is as good as his word. He said, you remember that they all may go away, but I will not go away. So we find Peter there in the courtyard of the high priest, warming himself at the fire. I think you can be sure that Peter was huddled in his cloak. He was trying to blend in with the crowd. Oh, had his cloak pulled up, his face covered as much as he could. He did not want to be recognized, but he was there near Jesus. We don't know what happened. Perhaps someone put a fresh log on the fire or poked it to get it to burn better, but as the fire flared up and in the increased light, maybe it was then that someone recognized Peter. Mark tells us that one of the maidservants of the high priest looked closely at Peter. I try to imagine Peter. There he is with the cloak pulled up around him and this servant girl looking at him, you know. And he's cringing back, trying to make himself invisible. You can imagine how tense he must have been. And then the girl spoke and said to Peter and to all that were there, this one too was with Jesus. And Peter denied. He said, I don't know or understand what you are saying. And he went out on the porch and the cock crowed. He went out on the porch. He left the others there. He went out on the porch and he had the opportunity now to run away. This was the time for him to run. This was surely it for Peter. Any prudent person would have left that courtyard as fast as his legs could carry him. But Peter remains. He'll not leave. Then the same thing happens again. The maidservant saw Peter and began to say to the bystanders, this man was one of them. And again, Peter denies knowing Jesus. But he still doesn't leave. He still stays there. How could he do it? Can you begin to admire something of his courage? He'll not leave Jesus. And then the bystanders begin to say to Peter, in truth, you're one of them, for you are a Galilean. Another gospel says your speech betrays you. I can tell where you come from and where you talk. You know, there's some folks I meet around here that just talk funny. They don't talk like good Alabamians are supposed to talk. Years ago, I went to visit a friend of mine out in Iowa. Had a meeting at the church, and afterwards a supper, all it was, I don't remember. But the people gathered around me, and they didn't care what I talked about as long as I talked. My speech betrayed me. And so it was with Peter. It was obvious that Peter was of the same section of the country as Jesus was. And again, Peter denies Jesus. This time he begins to curse and to swear, saying that he did not know the man that they were talking about. Now, don't get mistaken as I have. Peter wasn't cursing Jesus' name. What he did was swear that he did not know Jesus, and he called down curses upon himself if what he's saying was not true. But he began to curse and swear, saying, "I don't know the man." And it seems even now, Peter did not intend to leave the courtyard. But something happened. The cock crowed again. And now Peter remembers the words of Jesus. "Before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me three times." And one of the most awesome passages in all of Scripture to me is in Luke's Gospel, in a parallel passage to this. Luke says at the moment that Peter denied Jesus the third time, Jesus turns and looks at Peter. I can't quite get my emotions around that. Peter said, "I'll never deny you." And now he's sworn three times he doesn't even know him. And Jesus turns and looks at him, doesn't say anything, just looks at him. And Peter went out and wept. Wept bitterly. But I think we need to remember that Peter fell to a temptation that the other disciples were not courageous enough to face. Before we criticize Peter too harshly, we should consider his fantastic courage. William Barclay said of this, "We would do well to be amazed at Peter's courage rather than to be shocked by his fall." One more thing I'd like us to look at here. Think about it. Where did Mark get his information about Peter's denial from? Well, it's usually believed among scholars that Mark's gospel is largely composed of the preaching material of Peter. And surely the only source for this story would be Peter himself. This being the case, we can believe that again and again, as Peter preached, he told the story of his own denial. Can you see it? As he preached, he would tell of how he had sworn to never fail Jesus. And then he would tell the story of how he failed, how he denied him three times, and swore that he knew not the man. And then he would go on to say, "But the amazing thing is that in spite of my denial, Jesus never stopped loving me. I let him down. I hurt him like that. And still he loved me. He forgave me. He restored me as his disciples. If he could do that for me, he can do it for you. His love never ceases. His forgiveness is ever available." So Peter uses his failure. He uses his sin to show forth the love of God. And this is the wonder of the gospel. No matter what our sin, God can forgive it and then use it to bring glory to his name. Let the sin be repented. Let it be forgiven. Then the true wonder of God's love is revealed. Praise be to God that He can take all of our sin, all of our failure, all of our brokenness, all of our strife, and make something beautiful, something good of it. Hallelujah. So I'd have us to learn from Peter tonight. See his amazing courage. Oh yes, his ultimate failure as well. But see especially God's amazing grace and love that forgives and restores. Be assured that what God did for Peter and what he's done for Jeff, he can do for you. Amen. And amen. Lord Jesus, we do thank you that you can take us in our weakness, in our brokenness, in our sinfulness, in our failure. You can take us just as we are and make us new creatures in Christ. Make something beautiful, something good out of it all. We praise you for your amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen.